9th of October, and the winner will go on to represent Britain in the European Tree of the Year competition.
The headlines again. The Metropolitan Police has charged three people suspected of being Russian spies as part of a national security investigation. Rishi Sunak has said there is light at the end of the tunnel after new figures showed that a record rise in wages meant that pay was now almost keeping pace with inflation. A moment of silence has been held in County Tyrone to mark 25 years since the Omagh bombing, which left 29 people dead. More than 1,200 people, including victims of crime and witnesses, have had their data breached by the Norfolk and Suffolk police forces. Six former officers for the Met Police have been charged with sending racist messages on WhatsApp after a BBC Newsnight investigation. BBC News.
And the news was read by Tom Sanders. Agatha Christie versus Mr. Blobby. It can only be the ultimate choice as we join Steph McGovern and guests for our 6:30 comedy next after a reminiscence from Sue Perkins.
The rules of Just a Minute are very simple. Practice buzzer awareness. Lucy, you've buzzed yourself by the looks of this. Avoid outward signs of contempt.
How dare you?
If you want to take this outside, we can.
Look out for sharp-tongued opponents.
Oh, what a shame. You'd only just got started.
Oh, do your best to speak for 1 minute without hesitation, repetition or deviation.
Please, no pity points.
No,
I've got pride.
It's not pity, I just want to get through the round.
Yeah.
Two episodes of Just a Minute with me, Sue Perkins, recorded at this year's Edinburgh Festival. Paul, you've challenged?
Somebody's left a gas on in the front row there.
Starting next Monday night at 6:30 on BBC Sounds and Radio 4.
And Front Row is live in Edinburgh for festival season tonight. Scotland's own Grammy Award-winning violinist, Nicola Benedetti, will be with them to share her vision for this year's festival as she makes her debut as festival director. Front Row is at 7:15. Comedy now, though, on Radio 4, as two comedians tackle some seriously silly dilemmas.
McGovern, and welcome to The Ultimate Choice, the show that confronts celebrities with dastardly dilemmas and crazy catch-22s. It's a game of would you rather, souped up like never before. And joining me this week are two top comedians. It's Pippa Evans and Dave Johns. Okie dokie. Well, on this show, we're taking your destinies out of your hands. I'll present each of our guests with a devious scenario that rests on one simple choice. But Pippa and Dave won't be deciding. Oh no, our wonderfully wise studio audience are here to weigh up the options and, with some help from real-life experts, cast the ultimate decision on our poor celebrities' fates. Yes, folks, here the public decide. Democracy, eh? What could possibly go wrong? And this episode is coming to you from the wonderful city of Newcastle! Okay, let's take the plunge with round one. Our first dilemma is going to affect Pippa, and here is the scenario. You're an all-action cop in 1980s Miami, breaking up drugs rings, taking down crime lords and sliding stylishly across car bonnets. But then your partner is killed on the job, leaving you without a trusty sidekick. The police department puts out a call for a replacement, but unfortunately, there are only two rookies to choose from, Agatha Christie or Mr. Blobby. So, yeah, we're looking for help here to clean up the streets of Miami. Agatha Christie, Mr. Blobby, any initial thoughts?
And the police having recruitment trouble, who'd have thought that could possibly happen? The listeners at home should know that my sleeves are rolled up already, so I'm definitely a Miami 1980s crime fighter in the making. I do look good in a suit, and I have had a mullet on several occasions. So I'm quite thrilled about this job. Agatha Christie does have the credentials of being a crime writer. She has at least the knowledge. But my fear with her is she's probably going to narrate the whole time. Well, Mr. Blobby, though, is very good at flattening people. So he's going to be very good at holding down assailants, which I think is good. Not going to be great undercover.
gut telling you?
Well, you know, Agatha Christie, she's like a posh granny, isn't she? And if she's anything like my granny, then the criminals would be in for a tough time, you know?
Well, they'd be terrified.
Yeah, right? But if she's anything like my granny, she'd be slightly racist.
Which is fine in 1980s Miami. I actually think, Dave, you make a good point about being quite scary. I think Agatha Christie would be quite frightening. I think people are frightened of older women, particularly older women of that generation. I imagine she just wouldn't have a gun, she'd just have a handbag, and she'd just beat assailants with her handbag and say, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Agatha bloody Christie! Beat, beat, beat!" And then she would use the plot for one of her novels, which would bring her up to date, so it would carry on and ITV3 would have some more content.
Yeah, but she couldn't slide over the bonnet of a car. She's a granny. Right. I mean, you know, maybe her varicose veins would get caught on the bumper. And then she would be... It would stretch it like elastic band. And then she'd get flown straight across out of the car.
Agatha Christie, though, she's pretty versatile because she worked as a nurse in the war.
Does she?
Yeah, and she's got a comprehensive knowledge of poisons, apparently. Mm.
The problem is, when you're dealing with drug cartels in Miami, I don't think they poison people with deadly nightshade.
Ah, but maybe they should.
Yes, I'm the house painter. I kill people with deadly nightshade. It takes them 4 months to die.
Are you thinking more Blobby, then?
I mean, if the car broke down, you could sit on Blobby, stick a fork in him, and like a balloon, he'd fly off over the thing. But there's nothing in Blobby, he's just an entity.
But wouldn't it be great that he can only speak in Blobby, which means we'd have to learn Blobby, so we'd be speaking Blobby. And then he would never be able to give away any of the information, because very few people speak Blobby, unless they, like me, had the cassette of the Blobby single that
Did
came
you?
Out. Yeah. Yeah, Blobby, Mr. Blobby, how can we make you understand?
Yeah. That could confuse the criminals, though. That might be a good thing.
Well, okay, maybe.
Are you worried he might take the shine away from you?
No.
Because he's your sidekick. Are you worried?
Because, again, I'm imagining Mr. Blobby in a rolled-up Miami Vice suit, and I know I look better.
You do. You've got one on now.
Exactly.
You look gorgeous.
I look good.
Should we see what our audience think as well on this?
Hello. I think Agatha Christie would be the better one because old people trust nobody. spot everything. And Blobby would be spotted all the time.
Oh, yeah. There we are. Anybody else?
My worry with Blobby, which is a lovely way to start a sentence. My worry with Blobby is where Edmonds fits into the picture. Mm. Like, is he going to end up as a thruple? Although he would look good in the Miami Vice suit.
Yeah, would you consider a thruple with Noel Edmonds, no, Mr. Blobby? It's all the rage now, isn't it?
It was the 90s, I was lonely. Side fact, when I was 10, I was on Noel Edmonds' house party Wait Till I Get You Home. Can you imagine? So I never got to meet Mr. Blobby. And then the episode was never aired because of the IRA bomb scare, some of you may remember, that shut down whatever it's called, Broadcasting House.
Yeah.
And so that's why, to this day, I support the peace process.
Does anybody else want to stand up for Agatha Christie or Mr. Blobby in this scenario?
I might be completely wrong here, but didn't Agatha Christie go missing for a while? What if you just about jump out on some criminals and you turn around and you're like, Aggie, where have you gone?
She did, yeah.
That's right, she disappeared for 10 days, but she just hid in a hotel. So my worry is, again, she's one of these incredibly imaginative women. She sold over 7 billion books or something mad like that. But when she decided to disappear for a while, she just hid in a hotel for 10 days and went, I was here all the time. In Hannigut, I believe
with
it was.
With Mr. Blobby. Yeah.
Shacking up.
Anybody else?
Well, I think we need to support Mr. Blobby.
Go on, why?
Good authority. Apparently, he's had a sticky suit. So everybody would stick to him. And then you could just bug him in the van and send him off.
So that's your crime instinct there, is just roll him across people and see who sticks?
Then he can just go in the van, no problem.
Yeah?
No taser guns, nothing. just glue.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
If you've changed my mind a bit there.
So the crucial moment is nearly upon us, but just before our audience decides who will become Detective Pippa's new comrade, let's hear from our ultimate choice expert, who in this case is comedian and ex-police officer, Alfie Moore. Here's what he thinks.
Do you know what? This is a really, really tough call. Initially, I was leaning towards Mr. Blobby because he doesn't take himself too seriously, and I think he would fit in well. If you need to roll your sleeves up and get stuck in, Mr. Blobby gives you the impression that he'll have a go. From an all-important diversity perspective, I'd like to say that Blobbies are underrepresented in modern policing. To be honest, I see loads of them about. Agatha Christie's really good, intimidatingly good, isn't she? And you don't want to be the thick one of the pair. It feels better ego-wise if you're the smart one, and she might show you up a little bit. But then again, from what I've seen, I would say that Agatha Christie would be cool under pressure, and that is so important. Might Mr. Blobby panic a bit if he's under a great deal of pressure, if there's guns going off all around us and we're surrounded by the bad guys? You know, this is not the time for a prank fall. Or a silly tumble, is it? So I would say I'm leaning towards Agatha Christie, not because of the obvious reasons, because she strikes me as someone that would keep very cool under intense pressure.
Has that swayed you then, Pippa?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be in a dynamic duo with another lady, so I think I'm going to go Agatha Christie.
Even though she might be the smarter one and they're potentially show you up?
That's okay, because I'll look hot in my suit.
Has it changed your opinion, Dave?
Yeah, I think probably Agatha Christie, yeah.
OK, now it's time to seal Pippa's fate. So, studio audience, if you think crime fighter Pippa should be partnered up with Agatha Christie, cheer now! And if you think she should be teamed up with Mr. Blobby, raise the roof now! I think that's Agatha Christie. Are you happy?
I'm very happy, and I'm looking forward to that tweedy little lady in her varicose veins coming to meet me soon.
Okay, it's time for round two. Okay, Dave, you're in the hot seat.
Okay.
Here comes your scenario. Your wedding day's coming up, and everything's been planned to perfection. But then, with a week to go, calamity strikes. A last-minute business collapse means the venue have had to pull out. You hit the phones, but everywhere's booked up apart from two venues. They both offer the full wedding package, three-course meal, well-stocked bar, and a wedding band till late. And where are these locations? Dracula's Castle or the North Pole? Which do you choose? Two very different places.
Well, the North Pole, that would be quite difficult to get your guests there because the North Pole keeps shifting. So you'd get a telephone call on the day from your Uncle Brian and Auntie Sheila going, "We're here."
"No, you're not."
2 days ago you would have been here, but not now.
Yeah.
So that might be difficult. But the good thing about the North Pole, right, is polar bears.
Do you like a polar bear?
Well, I was actually in the North Pole, and I learned something about polar bears. Their fur isn't white. Their hairs are hollow, and they're translucent. So it's reflection which makes them look white. And the thing is, polar bears are actually invisible. No, it's true, it's true. And people say they're endangered. There's not. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of them all over the place. And what happens is, you know, people just trip over them. And your guests would just go, "Don't go out." Oh! Yeah, so invisible polar bears would be another difficulty.
What are you thinking, Pippa?
My fear with Dracula's Castle is that the food will be bland because you won't be allowed garlic. There definitely won't be any steak, so...
Well, you would think that you are saving money, right, in Dracula's Castle, because with all the guests, if there was mirrors round the room, it would look like it'd be empty.
That's suggesting that all of your guests are vampires.
They will be all vampires.
Are your family all vampires?
All my guests will be vampires.
Okay.
I'm not here.
So, if you got married...
Do you know why he can go invisible? Because the hairs on his arms are, like, hollow.
Is that right?
There'd be an amazing pipe organ at the ready, wouldn't there?
That's true.
Which would sound like this.
For my march, for my bride, it would be... That's why I'm not married.
What about all the bats? I wouldn't be happy with that, and all the bat poo and everything.
I suppose this all depends on what kind of wedding you're going for, right? It sounds like you're going for a more traditional, like, white wedding, kind of OK Magazine style.
What are you thinking, like?
I'm thinking more like Halloween, like sexy witch kind of vibes.
So the bats would work, then?
Right, exactly.
But they might bite, like, your Uncle Ken or something, and...
I don't like Uncle Ken. Because also, Dracula's renting out his castle. He's going to have to go through some kind of health and safety procedure these days. You can't get on Airbnb without going through jumping through a few hoops, can you?
Yeah, see, Dracula's castle, I mean, it'd be noisy, wouldn't it? You know, frightening. Ooh! Ooh! That's the wolves.
But it'd be...
So it'd be a nightmare. Nightmare, never get to sleep at night.
I don't want to be sleeping on my wedding night. Am I right, ladies? Yeah.
And the wolves are going, that's Pippa, that's Pippa.
Right, let's find out what our lovely audience think about this. Where do you think the wedding should happen?
I think it'd have to be the North Pole, because you're from the Northeast, and everybody would be kitted out already, because they'd all trip up there in their T-shirts, strappy dresses and sandals, tripping across the snow and ice like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, and they'll be so hammered they won't feel the cold.
Well, that's where Cameron got the idea for Avatar, for the blue lasses from the big...
David Cameron for a minute then. Anybody else?
Hello, I'm thinking, does anyone get dermatitis? Because going to the North Pole, if you got dermatitis, then the cold weather's just going to set it off and that's going to put your guests off.
So you'd need a lot of moisturiser.
You want me to change my whole wedding just based on one person's skin problem?
Oh, well, you never know, they might run in the family.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Right, there's just one thing left to be done before decision time, and that's to hear from an expert. Raj Somaya is an international wedding planner, and he had this to say.
When I first thought about this, instantly it was like Dracula's castle, easy to theme, easy to get to, everyone can wear their clothes that they've already bought, because as we said, the wedding's happening next week, they've already bought their clothes, they already know what they're wearing, bridesmaids have already got their dresses and heels, easy to walk into. Now, I'm just a little bit concerned about the count, because it depends how long it's been since he's seen humans, and he might just get a little bit fruity, and I might not be able to control that. Because you can't stop the count, he's just going to carry on. So we would really need to secure our guests and our bride and groom and move them out of the building as fast as possible and ship them into another area, and we'd make the excuse of a power failure. If I take them to the North Pole, with extreme weathers, these things cause immense amount of problems for the guests, how they're going to get there and what the accommodation's going to be like. But still, I think it's worth them going through new clothes and footwear to get to the North Pole now than going into Dracula's castle, because it's a little less risk of going to the North Pole.
Mm. Have you considered Count Dracula getting fruity with your guests?
I'll come to drink your blood, but please stop scratching your dermatitis.
I have some E45 in the bathroom.
You think of everything. I think I'd go for the North Pole because, you know, it's a beautiful wilderness. It shifts around all over the place. You've got the northern lights. You've got people dropping icicles.
Do you think he's right? Do you think North Pole is where he should have his wedding?
Well, I mean, I've just been rethinking about Dracula, because Raj said that Dracula can walk through walls, and I just didn't know that about Dracula, and I realised all of my knowledge of Dracula comes from Count Duckula. So I may have been misled. So maybe the North Pole is a better idea. And your vodka luge will never melt. So that's pretty good. Mm?
Yeah, it'll be beautiful.
It'll be beautiful.
Let's do it, Pippa. Let's do it. Let's get married.
I don't want to be. This is not the thruple I want. Yeah. Also, vodka makes me violent, so I'd have to step out of that.
I'm here for
punching all the invisible polar bears. Steph, get out of the way! Get out of the way!
Right, let's see if your wish will come true, then.
Right.
Studio audience, you have the power over Dave's fate. If you think his wedding should be held at Dracula's castle, cheer now! If you think he'd be better off getting married at the North Pole, raise the roof! Yay! You're absolutely buzzing about that, aren't you?
Oh, man, and you're all coming!
Just need you to find you someone to marry now, don't we?
You flirt, Steph.
Save me. And that's the end of round two. Right, for our next question, it's the fate of our audience that hangs in the balance. And who better to choose the outcome than Pippa and Dave? Dave and Pippa are itching to go. Either that or it's their dermatitis playing up.
Only a Geordie can say that, can't they? Dermatitis. Conjunctivitis.
Without further ado, here's tonight's third dilemma. It's your 17th birthday, and your parents have promised you your dream gift, your first car. Finally, you'll be free to nip about town, drive to school and look dead cool to your mates and your crush. But when it comes to the grand unveiling, you've got a nasty shock in store. Your parents haven't got you the Renault Clio you'd asked for. Instead, they offer you a choice of two vehicles, a penny farthing or a tank. Yeah. Tank or penny farthing, it's like a thinking woman's top gear here, isn't it? Where are you leaning, Pippa, on this one?
Well, I mean, there's so many questions about these parents. I suppose I'm leaning towards a tank because I'm very bad at parking. And no one's going to argue or laugh at somebody trying to park a tank. And if you were like going to Sainsbury's or something, you could park in the family parking and no one's going to question whether you have a child or not. No one's going to ask, are they? Because you've got a tank, you're armed. My fear about the penny farthing is people will think you're being whimsical. They'll think you're one of those fun people, you know? I've seen someone on a penny farthing probably like 5 times in my life, and every time I've thought, wanker. I don't want that for my 17-year-old self, because it's hard enough being 17.
Yeah. Dave, what are you thinking?
I mean, my great-great-grandfather actually invented the farthing penny. That had the small wheel on the front. and what you do is you get about 2 foot, then you would just plummet face down into the cobbles. It was really dangerous and it didn't take on, you know? But that would have been, you know, if you had just thought about it, I think a penny farthing would be great.
So you're not worried, like, you're going to look like a wanker then?
Look at me.
Talk about tank pearls then. You know, you can have that badass factor.
Yeah, right. You can get through any weather. Now they've stopped gritting the roads, am I right, everybody? Haven't seen much salt during these cold spells, have you? So you just drive around in your tank. Maybe you could become the salter. You could become popular.
Yeah, and also what you could do with a tank, if you go to the shopping, you could hang your shopping
on
off the end of the gun. And this is true, this is true. You know Ross Noble, the comedian Ross Noble?
Yeah, yeah.
He actually has got a tank, and we used to drive round his fields.
Wow.
He was such popular with the neighbours. That's true.
So you sign in towards which, then?
The I would go for the penny farthing every time.
But it's not going to get you very far, though, is it?
If you're going downhill, yes.
It's not very safe.
And you get the tank coming up the hill. Yeah.
But I think if you're 17, like, it's all about being 17, isn't it, really? This question is about what's the impression you're going to make. So where are you driving this tank? You're driving it to school. You're going to drive a penny farthing to school. Dave, you're going to get beat up.
What young girl wouldn't be impressed if you came with a penny farthing up to there? She went, oh, Dad, Dave's here on his penny farthing. And the mother goes, oh, he's a fine gentleman. Go out with him. Stand all night. He's a fine gentleman. Look at that top hat. A man with a top hat like that would never be wicked.
Is that part of it, Steph, that if you have the penny farthing, you have to wear a top hat?
No, you don't.
But you would wear a top hat,
Dave? Safety.
My fear also about the penny farthing is that most 17-year-olds now would not understand why it's called a penny farthing. So not only are you going to have to give your child a penny farthing, you're then going to have to explain to them why it's called a penny farthing, which means you have to explain the pre-decimal money system. So it's there's a lot going into giving that penny farthing.
But it's educational.
You don't need to be taught the pre-decimal money system anymore, Dave. I know you lived through it.
Yes.
It's not coming back, Dave, all right? It's not coming back.
We need to get this all out before we get married and go to the, go to the Arctic. So it's good we're getting this all out now.
Should we find out what our audience think?
When you're 17, all you're thinking about is driving. And I got, for my 17th birthday, not a penny farthing, but a bike. And I was so disappointed. So get the tank, just don't get the bike for your 17th birthday.
I thought you were
going
to say, when I was 17, I got dermatitis.
Yeah, a tank would be better for dermatitis, wouldn't it? Whereas a penny farthing, the wind would be in your face constantly.
But it would blow away all the flakes.
So. I think we should hear from our esteemed ultimate choice expert, who this time is motoring journalist and racing driver, Vicky Butler Henderson.
The tank would automatically get my attention because it's so big. And I have actually driven one. So I know the sheer excitement and thrills that they cause when you're inside one. You can drive it with the hatch up, so you've got a great commanding view of the road. You could turn it on at a sixpence because it's got those lovely caterpillar tracks that just turn really quickly. The bad sides about it are if you drive the thing with the hatch closed, massive claustrophobia if you're that way inclined. Also, you've got a whole array of sharp edges. There are no creature comforts at all. And the noise, you'd be able to hear you coming from streets away. When it comes to the penny farthing, this one you can park inside the school gates. This will not cost you anything in fuel, and it will get you fit. It will give you a very smooth ride because of that massive front wheel. You can actually race these things as well. They were the fastest things once upon a time in the 1880s. They were the fastest thing on a road, which I think makes them super cool. The cons, though, are I think these are very tricky to get on. Or if you hit a pothole, you were going straight over the handlebars, and that is not a good look to turn up to school on your back on the floor.
Mm. So what are we thinking then? Final thoughts?
I say penny farthing.
Even though it's got no great features, it's, you know, no Bluetooth, no speaker system.
You could put a lolly stick in it, like when you were a kid, and it would make that noise. It would be like a motorbike.
I'm going with a tank, but you could put a lolly stick in that and just watch it be crushed.
Okie dokie. So, you're going penny farthing. Pippa, you're going tank. I have the deciding vote. I'm obviously going tank. Who wouldn't want to drive a tank around? If you'd have rather gone off with Dave on a penny farthing, raise the roof. That was
weak. You all disgust me.
That brings us to the end of the show. Thanks once again to our panellists, Pippa Evans and Dave Johns, and to our wonderful audience here in Newcastle. I've been Steph McGovern, and this has been The Ultimate Choice. Good night. The Ultimate Choice was presented by Steph McGovern with guests Pippa Evans and Dave Johns. It was written and devised by John Harvey and Joseph Mokergo, with additional material from Laura Major. The producer was John Harvey, and it's a Naked production for BBC Radio 4.
Glasgow comedian Susie McCabe will share stand-up for her new Fringe show exploring her womanhood, femme fatality, in tonight's Front Row in just over 16 or 15 minutes. And just before that, we're off to Ambridge, where George makes a dangerous plan and Ben struggles to let go of the past in the Arches.
See fireworks.
Get butterflies in your stomach. And feel goosebumps all over. The world's greatest classical music festival. The BBC Proms. Watch on iPlayer, listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. Three Bulgarian citizens suspected of being Russian spies are to go on trial at the Old Bailey in January. The two men and a woman are charged with possessing fake documents, including passports and identity cards, for nine countries. The defendants, who've been detained since February, have yet to enter their pleas. A former intelligence officer for MI5, Annie Machon, shared her thoughts about the case.
It sounds like three very low-level operatives, allegedly. And the charges are very specific, only relating to these documents, fake IDs and things like that. So one potential theory could be that they were operating as a sort of support network for others who might be working within the intelligence infrastructure as well. But that is pure speculation.
Norfolk and Suffolk police say they're contacting more than 1,200 people whose personal details have been included in responses to Freedom of Information